Hi, good evening. It's Alan Levy. There is some big confusion going on tonight in Blog Talk Radio. Amy, if you are somewhere, which I do not know, why don't you feel free to call in? I believe that I am on air, which my switchboard does say. Well, I apologize to everybody. I know the show had started late this evening. We had changed the time, and I was informed by my wife that I had back-to-school night for my 9-year-old. And given the fact that I have been spending, I don't know, 12 hours in front of this computer for the last 3 months, I thought for the good of my marriage that I would attend my back-to-school night, and Amy so graciously agreed to host the show. So here I am. It is Alan Levy. We're expecting some guests tonight. I know that Amy was coordinating that, and hopefully she will be calling in. If not, then the show would be rather short tonight. But once again, this is Alan Levy. We're on Blog Talk Radio, and we're here this night. So what I'd like to do is, before the guests come in, let me brief everybody on a few things that's going on here at Blog Talk Radio. So just to bring everybody up to date, and I like to do that occasionally. I like to do that occasionally. So, you know, we're making constant changes. And one of the things that you'll notice on Blog Talk Radio now, and one of the complaints we had is many people didn't know when the show was on air. We would always get this question, well, how do you know the show's on? How do you know the show's on? Well, in fact, if you, and that's if you're a listener, mind you, not if you're a host. We have put on the host switchboard the on air, and so the host does know a show is on air. But hold on, let's see if Amy's on, and we can pick this up.
Hi.
Hi, Amy.
I'm back.
Ah.
I don't know what happened.
Extraterrestrial activity must have been going on.
Yes, there was a big bright light. I heard helicopters, and all of a sudden I was gone.
Well, I'm glad. I heard some Twilight Zone music coming emanating from your Skype.
I'm on my regular phone. I
see. Well, let's call that an Amy moment, you say?
You know what? That's the problem, Alan, is I didn't have one of those today.
You didn't have one.
We're supposed to get those out of the way, you and I, early.
Amy is with the Blue Doodle, and Amy and I got to know each other through, well, before the 9/11 project. I was interviewed on Amy's site, mm-hmm. and we've become friends.
Yeah.
And we've been working a lot together on Blog Talk Radio and the Blue Doodle and collaborating to our mutual benefit. But I have come to realize that she warned me, she does have certain moments, at least one a day, which are just unexplainable, I would guess.
We call them Amy moments here in Connecticut, and I have one a day.
You do have one a day.
One a day, just one, and if I get it out of the way early, I'm pretty good for
it. I see. Okay. So as I asked you to host my show, when Larry King has – who Joan Rivers hosts Larry King's show? Do you think she has a Joan moment at that time?
Joan Rivers used to host
Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson. You are Johnny Carson. And I'm
We're sorry. Dating – I'm dating ourselves.
Yes.
let's forget that. So, but I know that we have two guests tonight, but I have yet to. Why don't you try to? While I'm talking about some of the changes going on at Blog Talk Radio, why don't you try to reach out to Jim and see if he can call that number. The phone number to call in, everybody, is 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. And I was telling everybody that because we moved the time a half hour, I was able to maintain my marriage and go to my daughter's visiting back to school night, and that was accomplished. But one of the things that we had heard from many, many people was that the page doesn't refresh, and it's a very valid point. And what that I mean is this: that if you go to if you go to a website, one of the pages here, if a show had started at 8 o'clock, for example, and you get to by 8:05, well, then you can then see the show that says on air. Once again, if anybody can hear me, any of the listeners can hear me or the people calling, please call back in into the line, okay? And that should work out fine. What we did now is that on the host channel, we have we have built in an auto refresh tool, and that auto refresh tool works as follows. On every half hour, that page will auto refresh. So if you are on at 7:55 on a page, or one of your listeners or audience goes to see your show, which is scheduled at 8, and they're on at 7:55, there's no need to refresh the page at 8 o'clock. The page will automatically refresh at 8 o'clock. The on-air button will light up. The listen live words will pop up, and your caller, your listener, can listen to your show. So that is one of the important things that we're doing here. So I think it's important. And what we also want to do is create a refresh page on the home page and possibly the guide. But as an interim measure, we've done this on the host channel. And I think it's an important thing. Another thing that we've done here at Blog Talk Radio is that we've been trying to create the create excitement with the forum, and we've done that. We've created a forum. You could see it on our navigation bar, and you can see it on that navigation bar. And one of the things that I wanted to mention to you is that we're looking for people to provide input and give us their input, work on that, give us some suggestions. We do read the community, we do read the forum, and you can see that appearing on our navigation bar on top. We've also replaced the blog entry on the nav bar with a How It Works button. And that How It Works button is just basically a tie-in to our FAQ. So if you have certain questions, then what I suggest you do is hit that How It Works button. You can get all kinds of questions answered and so on. So we're going to hopefully be taking some calls tonight. Once again, the number is 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. And please call in, and we would like to hear what you have to say.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Amy.
Hi, Jim is going to call back, and he's on hold, and he's going to hang up, and he's going to call back.
Okay. He's calling back in?
He's going to call back in. That's a 677-0649 area code 347 phone number.
Yeah.
Yes. So you should be getting him. Do you have the switchboard pulled up?
Yes.
Yes, good. Okay.
Yes, I would be very happy to speak to Jim.
Yes. He's got a really good website there.
Which one? Coping.org?
Coping.org. I didn't realize he worked at St. Joseph's Children's Hospital in Tampa, and he works with disabled children, developmentally disabled children, which I found interesting because my child is developmentally delayed.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Let's see if we got him.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Jim?
Yes.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Jim.
Sorry about
hi.
That tonight. We're having certain extraterrestrial things going on in Blog Talk Radio's network, I think.
No problem.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
Okay.
So, Amy was telling us, why don't you tell our listeners, and once again, if people like to call with questions during the show, it's 347-677-0649. We have Jim Messina, Dr. Jim Messina. Your website is coping.org?
Correct. Uh-huh.
Correct. Maybe you could tell everybody what coping.org is and how long you've been at it.
Okay. Coping.org is a free public access, public domain website that my wife and I put out starting in 1999. It was at the same time that I retired from my private practice. At the time, I had 10 published books that were geared towards therapists to use as homework assignments with their clients. And what I did was we converted them to web-based informational self-help books, and that would be free public access to anyone who wanted to use them. And we have two types of books. We have we have 11 books for adults in what we call our adult toolbox, and then we have five books for parents in our parent toolbox. And then on the website, we also have developed a 9/11 memorial site, a Katrina site, and then the site has some additional materials based on my personal issues, like I have some travel logs on there, and the courses I currently teach at one university are up there as well.
And what university is that, may I ask?
Yeah, actually, I teach at three schools. I teach at Argosy University and Capella University, and I also teach at University of Phoenix. So I teach at Argosy and Capella graduate students in mental health counseling, and then at University of Phoenix, I teach adult students primarily psychology courses.
What is, I mean, given all that's gone on, I know we saw 9/11, and we have certain disasters that are, you know, created by man and others that are not.
Right.
I mean, one may argue that hurricanes may be created by man due to global warming, but that's
right.
Obviously another debate.
Sure.
Have you as this issue about man-made disasters, this terrorist activity going on in airports and things, I mean, has that been a much more common type issue that people are coming in with are concerned about that?
Well, it is an issue. I'm also the director for mental health volunteers in the Tampa Bay chapter of the Red Cross. So I cover a three-county area, Pinellas, Hillsborough, and Pasco County in Florida. And part of our training for our mental health volunteers is how to work in mass casualty events. And we specifically ran a practice event. Unfortunately, why are we practicing these things? But a practice event in Pinellas County this year of a terrorist attack in Pinellas, use of a dirty bomb, a nuclear device, and so we could look at what would be the mental health ramifications of this kind of event. And a lot of our anticipation of these types of trainings for these types of events has occurred, of course, since 9/11, because American Red Cross stayed up in the New York area for a number of years, actually, providing volunteer mental health services. And from that experience, we feel that every chapter has to be totally prepared in case a terrorist attack should occur in our home community. And so, yes, I have developed a rapid response team down here in the Tampa Bay area with our Red Cross chapter specifically to address terrorist attacks. So it's something that we all have to be ready for.
Yeah. Well, we live in the Northeast. I live in the Northeast here, and it's a very significant issue. You go over bridges, and you go over, you know, we're always going through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah.
You take a look at these large trucks and so on. So are you dealing with, when coping, people cope about anything, also stress-related work and so on, or financial implications. What's the diversity of the types of issues, the larger type issues you deal with?
Well, for one thing, since it's a self-help site, we rarely know what people are using our site for.
I see.
Because they're coming in and reading the materials on their own. It's all self-directed materials. There's no counseling, no online counseling. There's no direct advice being provided by me to specific behavioral problems or issues that people bring in. However, the way the site is designed, it covers the whole waterfront of issues. And like the fact that we've covered Katrina and 9/11, we had no problem setting up materials on that site. Because we have so much of our self-help materials about stress reduction, dealing with post-traumatic distress, bereavement, dealing with loss and issues, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it fits right in. And my becoming the chair in the Tampa Bay area, or the lead for mental health in the Tampa Bay area, just came up naturally, you know, as a result
right.
of that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on your site now. I mean, you can see where people are downloading from, what type of issue they have, to kind of see what emphasis are, you know, people have. But
right.
It's quite interesting. And you have some books, and your books are available where?
No. All our books.
No, you said you had written some books.
Yes, all of those books are now online.
Okay. Oh, they're all online manuals. I see, on-site manuals.
Yeah, see, what we did is we converted all of our published texts that that have been sold for around 5 years. We edited them and uploaded them to be free online books for people. And they're in a web format designed so that people can use specific topics or they could use the whole book.
I see. Did you get involved in at all with the disaster that took place with the tsunami last year?
No.
Yeah.
No. However, we now run here in the Tampa Bay area disaster conferences, and one of my specialists in children's work, she had spent a month in the tsunami region in Sri Lanka. Doing work with children, and so we've had her presentation.
And what did she? I mean, obviously, it was just unbelievable devastation.
Unbelievable.
Is that what was her feedback coming back? And did she hear some stories? And just remarkable what went on.
Yeah, all the children she worked with were orphans. They were gathered by various state organizations, national organizations. And they'd ended up in a common adoptive agency, and the goal was to get them as stabilized as possible so that then they could make a determination where they would be sent. They didn't even have extended family members to adopt them. But what she shared with us is how these children's resiliency was amazing, but that their artwork that she demonstrated for us was just totally dramatic because, you know, they had pictures of water and the loss of their parents or the loss of their family members. And it was a pretty devastating event.
Yeah, you mean that the artwork that the children drew?
Yes.
Enactments of what was, wow.
Yeah, because, you know, that was one common language that they could share with these English-speaking volunteers. What their experience was, they were using translators in their work. But, my experience of working with the Red Cross has exposed me to an array of disasters that I was certainly not prepared to get involved with when I first got started.
How many people are in the Red Cross?
American Red Cross? It's huge. Like during Katrina, there were over 400,000 volunteers working the Katrina event.
Remarkable.
At one level or another. My wife and I worked in New Orleans at Christmas time. We were there 2 weeks, and we were working in mass distribution of food. We were working on what are called IRVs, or portable kitchens, going around New Orleans. At the time, Red Cross was serving over the Christmas holiday over 40,000 meals a day.
Well, I think it's a note, you know, the volunteers and your effort and what we've seen on the 9/11 is just remarkable for people to give their time and resources to for the good of mankind. It really is incredible.
Well, this is an interesting piece. I kind of brag about this. Since it's all, our website is a total free act of love on the part of my wife and I, and when I had made the decision that we would no longer edit our published books and rather make them public access on our website, and I'm the webmaster for our website, I told her, I said, boy, just think of it. We could have 10,000 hits a year of people coming in to look at our site, 10,000 a year. That would be spectacular. So over a five-year, our goal in 1999, although we didn't have all the books uploaded until 2000, I said, in 5 years, honey, we'll be, if we have 50,000 hits, I will just feel so excited. And right now we're hitting, right now I'm looking at our numbers, we're 1,075,000.
Wow.
And it's 2006. And wow. We feel so blessed because people are taking advantage. And we do get a lot of mail feedback. email feedback. And the point is, we don't even put the feedback email on our website because we're not really looking to self-promote either. We don't do any advertising of it because it's free. But it's been an amazing experience. If you put COPING, coping, into Google,
yeah,
guess who number one is.
It's the number one?
Yeah, we're number one.
That's great.
Yeah, so we're very pleased, and so it's all, I mean, this is just, you know, we felt like we wanted to give back all the goodness that we've received from people over the years, and this is our way of giving back to people.
Tell everybody about St. Joseph's Hospital,
okay.
What you do with them.
Well, first off, let me start by saying that for 20 years, I was the psychologist with United Cerebral Palsy as a consultant, even though I had a private practice. For 20 years, I worked in at United Cerebral Palsy doing developmental disability work, working with kids with cerebral palsy, spina bifida, and other types of developmental disabilities. I continue that work since 1999. I still do volunteer work with them. And because of my work with developmental disabilities, then St. Joseph's Hospital contacted me a couple of years ago, and the Children's Hospital of St. Joseph's here brought me on board as their child psychologist with a heavy focus not on developmental disabilities but on childhood cancer. And so our website, coping.org, over the course of the next year or so, we'll be adding a new portion to our website on coping with childhood cancer and its aftermath. And I'm developing a behavioral medicine training program at St. Joseph's Children's Hospital for psychologists to come on board. I currently have one pre-doctoral intern, and I also have doctoral students, and we also have doctoral students who will be doing research with us. So our goal is to eventually just have a little hotbed of training of mental health practitioners and working with children. And, of course, one of our areas will always be developmental disabilities. In fact, our website, four of our books in the Parents Toolbox are specifically oriented towards parents who have children with developmental disabilities. My wife, by the way, has her doctorate, and her doctorate's in exceptional education, with a focus on communication disorders and learning disabilities.
I'm going to have to download those. My child has spina bifida and cerebral palsy.
Uh-huh.
And one of her biggest problems is communicating.
Oh, yeah. It's a big issue. And we feel strongly about early intervention, and then not only that, but then actually follow along through elementary, middle, and high school. And so we have a book that's specific towards parents who have kids in exceptional education programs,
uh-huh.
Getting parents involved with exceptional ed, and we basically teach them how to develop their own child's individual education plan, how to advocate for their child, and how to stand up for their child's rights in the school.
Right. And, oh, yeah, don't I know that.
Yeah, and, you know, as a parent, you're always having to advocate for your child no matter what age the child is.
Yeah.
And everybody just takes it for granted. Oh, you know, you got exceptional education. But it isn't always that way because the kids can't talk for themselves oftentimes, and it's the parent who's really called upon to do the advocacy. And so we put together these materials. I ran parent groups at United Cerebral Palsy for 20 years, and these were manuals I developed for the parents, so that when they walked into a school, the schools would say, "Oh, you're trained by Dr. Messina."
Could you see yourself maybe using Blog Talk Radio as a platform to kind of inform people or take questions? You know, not I know you don't know the medical histories and so on, but to further use it as a communicating tool.
Well, I really can see that. A lot would be time commitment, because of my teaching, you know. But I think oftentimes parents, especially parents of kids with developmental disabilities, are so ill-informed by their professionals in their home community how to stand up for their child's rights. I think most parents are just so happy to get whatever services they get.
There's no information. There's no,
no.
information.
And then yeah.
Yet when your child is born with a disability, nobody hands you a book and says, okay, this is what you have
to
do for the next, you know, 50 years of your life.
Yeah.
And you've written the book, which is great. I'm going to
well,
put that out.
What happens is that the reason why I say I still work in developmental disability arena mm-hmm. is that my parents from United Cerebral Palsy, a few of them continued parent support groupings, and Connie, my wife, and I co-led a group for 10 additional years outside of UCP of parents who just got together on a regular basis just to support one another. Because it is a lifelong need. It doesn't end at five. It goes yeah. on all the way through adulthood. And our goal was to help parents normalize their lives, their children's lives, mm-hmm. to adulthood and to geriatric level, in fact.
Right.
And what we wanted to do is to keep parents spry. What my big concern about parents is kids with special needs is that they burn out because there's just so much work to be done.
It's quite stressful. It is. It's very stressful.
You feel
like you're running in place and you're just not going anywhere.
And oftentimes, you know, I get concerned because they parents don't know what to ask, and then they don't know what to expect, and then they get confused by all the jargon that's out there and it's just so difficult. I just went today to a school IEP meeting, with individual education plan meeting,
uh-huh.
and this is a young boy that my wife and I had tested for a learning disability. But by the end of the session, I was just so upset because I realized this kid had never been identified as having sensory regulation problems. He probably needed early intervention from around birth because at birth he was not even able to have a good sucking reflex.
Right.
So he couldn't even breastfeed. He couldn't even eat on his own for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up in speech therapy, but he needed many more resources than that.
Yeah.
So
a lot
today,
of these kids are hypersensitive or desensitized in certain
Actually, ways. He was a hypersensitive kid.
Mm-hmm.
He is, how old is he? He's in third grade. He's 8 or 9 years old. I found out today, now I'd already tested him. We'd already submitted these reports to the school. I found out today he has a problem eating regular foods because the texture's so bad.
Oh, my daughter has the same problem.
Yeah. And it's like I know what he needed, but he had never gotten these services up to now.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are at school, and I'm referring him out to a neurologist for all kinds of physiological evaluations and to an occupational therapist for sensory integration work. And, wow, I was...
Well, even getting the occupational therapists who know what they're doing is another thing. Because I've had many, and half of them are straight out of college.
Yeah.
Nothing against them. There are plenty of good ones out there. They're just not experienced enough. And the kids who come out of college and they work with Easter SEALs,
yeah.
You know, they go to work for Easter SEALs, the United Way or whatever, very limited experience, especially with a child who has many special needs. And then almost as a parent, you're almost telling them what to do.
Well, exactly. I always told my parents they were the expert on the child. You're with the kid 24/7. You know
right.
more about the child than any of us.
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you, truthfully, this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
When I started with United Cerebral Palsy in 1980,
mm-hmm.
I had never seen a kid with cerebral palsy.
Wow.
There was no formalized training in my psychological training
yep.
to deal with developmental disabilities. And when
yep.
the lady asked me, would you be willing to come on board, the director of UCP, I said, but I've never worked with kids with disabilities. I've worked with babies.
Yeah.
I ran a prenatal infant program in a mental health center for 3 years, so I'd worked with babies, and I knew more about baby psychology than mm-hmm. most run-of-the-mill psychologists. She goes,
No, come on.
All
the kids are different. They're all different.
Yeah.
There's not two that are the same. And speaking of cerebral palsy, the girl
yeah.
who's supposed to call in next, Renee Reyes, I'm not sure. Is she on the line, Alan?
Not yet, no.
She has a child with cerebral palsy.
Oh, really?
Yep, she's international poet laureate. She's supposed to call in a little while. So when she calls in, we'll get her on the line. And
Yeah,
maybe we'll talk to her for a moment with you. But I do think that I mentioned Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Well, of course, because it is this medium that we're spending so much time on now, which we feel is very useful. But there's a lot of people that would be interested, and I think the way we have, I think it's possible to maybe bring other people into this fold that have worked with you over the years.
Yeah.
Who can host the show?
Yeah.
Take turns. Take calls. Have a posting on your site, and we can drive people to your site through Blog Talk Radio if people happen to be listening to your shows.
Sure.
And they do need help. We're seeing that quite often, that people do put little promotional buttons on their blog pages or their pages that come back to their own channel on Blog Talk Radio, but we're driving people to those places. So
okay.
It is not a – it's a very easy format. You can actually, just use a phone and you call in, and it's a, you can do a half-hour show or an hour show whenever you'd like, and it's archived. It's also something that you can do – for further education, where you can store your podcasts on your website.
Wow!
So it's a new medium.
Yeah.
But one which will allow you to take some questions. I mean, Amy has she's on now. We're just having a conversation. But there's many parents, right, that would love to have an opportunity to just kind of validate some of the things that they've learned from their own doctors or support group that may not be accurate.
Well, this is one of this is really interesting you say that, because one of the big issues is the inability to get parents together because they're so busy just taking care of their kids. Where do they go for a meeting? How can you get them to a meeting without carrying the whole family with them? And this would be a way to get to a number of families all at one time, and they could participate in a telephone conference,
and all over the world.
It's all over the world. I mean, your show would be broadcast all over the world, and you can people can call you with a question or email you or IM you with a particular question, which you can talk about and address. So a lot of times we have could have guests on. We have a guest on, like we're having you on. So I think it's a way to really reach out, and more people becoming familiar with Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to have shows dedicated to the sciences and some of these issues.
Yeah, I think that has tremendous merit. There's a mom, her name is Janet Atkinson, here in Tampa, that she and I co-lead a group monthly for parents with special needs, and we focus specifically to parents of kids under the age of 5. And I'm sure that given the opportunity, this would be a real great opportunity for the parents who've been involved with us for a number of years to help out with doing that programming, because they're so committed to parent support programming.
Well, do you have my number?
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah, give her my number,
and
we'll have to hook up, on the phone, you and I and her over the next week, and we'll discuss it. I would love to see you do a show about this, because there's so much information that's just not out there. I remember my daughter was 6 months old, and she needs to be catheterized, and I had to fight for her to get catheters.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. And here's another instance. Her wheelchair. The insurance company held her wheelchair hostage, this is what I call it, hostage, because the insurance company owed them money. Not from me.
Yeah.
But from somebody else. And what I ended up having to do is I called the insurance fraud for Connecticut department and the attorney general for the insurance division here in Connecticut. Literally had to call them and say, you can't do that. Because my insurance company my account was paid up because we had other equipment. She's got the Rifkin gait trainer. She's got a stander and, the bath seat and all that. And that was all paid for. I didn't owe them any money, but the insurance company.
But the insurance company did, and not even for her equipment.
No, and they held it hostage. It took us 3 months to get her wheelchair. And, and as these kids get bigger, they're heavy.
Oh,
she's almost 45 pounds. And, you know, each time she gains a pound, I feel it. You know, my back starts to hurt.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't lug her around or stick her in a stroller anymore. Her feet are dragging the ground. And that's, that's another problem is her. My daughter.
But I think, but nobody really is speaking to you clearly. I can tell from what you're saying.
No, it's been a learn as I've gone thing. And I'm pretty aggressive at anything I do. So I haven't done too badly. You know, it's just been a lot of frustration, you know, probably unneeded if I had, you know, known. And the doctors do the best they can. We go to Yale up here in New Haven, and they're pretty good. We see Dr. Ment. She's a neurologist, and Dr. Duncan is her husband. That's the neurosurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
They specialize in spina bifida. They have a spina bifida clinic once every, I think it's once a month.
Once a month.
Here at Yale, and they're very, very, very good, but there's only so much they can tell you because you know they're busy too.
Oh yeah.
You know,
and then the other thing too is that each child with a developmental disability is different.
Yes.
And so you know you can't even generalize because you got to be cautious. Like I'm always saying, well, generally, but we can't be sure. In your case, this would be true. You know. And
yeah.
I know parents get frustrated with that because mm-hmm. they want to know for sure.
Yep.
And that you can't tell a parent for sure because each kid is so different. But
and you never know what next week is going to bring.
I think there's absolute merit to this idea. And the fact is that we have the resources that they can go to. We actually have tremendous links with other developmental disability websites around the world that are part of my website because we have a big link section.
Mm-hmm.
So we do take various diagnoses and we pursue them with links. So,
yeah
I think it would be great to work on.
Yeah, there's so much out there that parents can get and they just don't know about. I'll give you another, for instance. My daughter was 3 years old and she came out of the Birth to Three program here in Connecticut and went into the school system and she got sick the instant she went to school, like all kids do.
Yeah.
She doesn't bounce back as quickly, and we ended up having to get a nurse that came out once a week to check on her because she has seizure issues and so on and so forth. But the nurse, we had a new nurse from the old nurse that we had been having every once in a while, and the nurse said to me, how come you don't have an aide in the house for a couple hours a day to help you out? And I said, I didn't know I could get one. And she said, yeah, let me see what I can do. And lo and behold, she's been with us since last December. We have Teresa, and she comes 3 hours a day. And, you know, I call her my angel. She's been a godsend. But nobody ever told me I could get that. Your insurance company isn't going to come and say, hey, you know, we're gonna do this for you.
Right. No. Well, that is what we've known all along. And one of the biggest heartaches I've had is that over the course of years, there was a lack of support for parent support, if that makes any sense. And,
yes.
It was almost like, oh, no. We don't want to teach these parents too much. So there was no funding, no resources. And like I told you, for around 8 years, parents and myself and Connie ran this parent group. Of course, that was all pro bono, you know, and all. And it's just no one wants to get parents as informed as they need to be. And what that means is, in the long run, these children, as they grow older, are going to be less they'll get served well if there's good advocates within the school. But if there's not an advocate in the school or an advocating nurse like what you had,
mm-hmm.
These kids are going to suffer in the long run because they're not going to get optimal services that they deserve.
And every month and every week that goes by is crucial with these kids.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I was saying today I was just so upset because I met a kid. I mean, I've known this kid for about a month, but here's a kid that probably needed interventions when he was 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
and now at age 8 we're finally going to get those services he needed way back when.
Yeah,
and that really upsets me.
I think it's just getting people in the right places, doing the jobs that care, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what to say about how they feel. The ones who don't care, I can't imagine what goes through their head every day when they're talking to parents and looking at these kids.
Well,
I've dealt with those doctors that they just kind of brush you off, and you know, Oh, well.
Almost like they're deaf to what you have to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know that my experience with therapists and with the doctors that I work with, they're all just like they bleed for the families. Their concern is that there's just not enough of them, not enough helpers, and so they get stretched thin. And so they know that they're not able to give parents the kind of information that they really need to give because they're running all the time. They're constantly in motion.
Yeah.
So that I think is the other issue involved. Yep.
I think if the insurance companies put out a book just for special needs families, you know, with a list of things that you're entitled to, you know, as a client of the insurance company, that would be a huge help. You know,
it would be very. In other words, this helper who's in your house, is she paid by the insurance?
She is.
No kidding.
Yep, 3 hours a day. She's going to be going up to 5 hours a day because she's going to be, my daughter's going to be going for surgery on the 28th of this month. She's going to have her heel ligaments lengthened, and she'll be cast for 6 weeks. And, you know, she's got to be carried everywhere she goes at that point. Right now she crawls. She's just now crawling. And once that is over with, the casts come off. She has some tethered cord that has to be dealt with, so she'll go in for surgery again.
Yeah.
And then once that's done, they'll be...
Well, we have to extend the show.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to... we're going to have to wrap things up with Dr. Messina. I want to thank you for joining us tonight.
Okay.
Sorry for this slight problem at the beginning of the show, but we had a good opportunity, I think, to talk through some of these issues. And I look forward to maybe seeing you on Blog Talk Radio as a host, or we come and visit us again. But I think our platform, we could do a lot of things with it, with you.
Yes, I want to pursue that further, okay?
Okay, terrific.
I'll talk to you this week, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks for joining us.
Right up. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, and we have Renee on the phone, I believe.
Hello, Renee.
Yep, we're going to... Hello, Renee.
I'm here.
Ah.
How are you?
Okay.
For whatever reason, I just couldn't get through to you guys. I don't, you know, it's a full moon night, I guess.
It's a very strange night on this, the Blog Talk Radio show. It's very good because when things happen that are of strange, rather than happen to me, it is a little unsettling.
Right. How are you?
Good. I'm very good.
Well, great.
And how are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
Well, Amy's on, and the three of us are here, and I extended the show, so we have more time to talk.
Oh, good.
I appreciate that.
But I called you to call. I called your cell phone to see if you were calling in. I just didn't see you on the switchboard. And you had one of the longest messages I've ever heard.
Well, you know what? It's an encouragement box. That's actually a home number. That's one of my home numbers. And people call there so much, and they miss me because I run around a lot. So this is my way of trying to stay in touch with, like, everyone that I care about. And because I have bad days, you'll hear that message on that day, you know?
Oh, yeah, really?
I've heard that message.
Yeah, I bet you have.
Oh, you change the message daily?
I change them every couple days. They never last long. This one I'm letting run, like I said, for like a week because it was such a huge revelation. I just wanted it to last a little longer because I feel like in the next 5 days, who really needs to hear it will call. You know what I mean?
And what was the revelation?
Well, the revelation was about when you're very honest and when you really try to do things in truth. And it's not even about being religious. It's about being a good person, okay? Everything works out that you're looking for in life. And that was so hard to digest when I've had all these bumps and bruises lately. And I'm going, wow, you know, I even go and say, God hates me. Well, you know, he really doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
So it's our behavior
that
really dictates how things work out for us in the end.
Yeah, before we get, I want to get into a lot of stuff with you, but maybe you can, why don't you give us a little background on yourself so our listeners and our audience knows a little about you?
Well, my name is Renee Reyes. My poetry company and production company is Sweet Verse Productions. Spoken word artist. I was graciously awarded International Poet Laureate for this past year and Poet of the Year. I was very grateful for that. I do spoken word. I tour live. I tour mostly in Europe. I've been touring lately more in the States to try and connect since I'm living here more now. Born and raised in Portugal. Been in the States since I was about 15. And... that's who I am. I do poetry.
Terrific.
I love it. Been doing it for years.
And how did you get into spoken word?
Gosh, this sounds so corny. Spoken word itself, I saw a young man named Mark Marcel, and he wasn't a slam artist. See, I'm not a slam artist. I'm a spoken word artist. There's a major difference. And he was the first person I saw on the stage in the States who actually had the integrity to tell that story without really putting another person down or just building himself up. He was really trying to reach the people. That's when it dawned on me that I could do that too. But I've been writing for 20 years. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So I didn't like the way I would see that thing on like 106 and Park on BET where, you know, they say great stuff about themselves and they put their opponent down. See, that wasn't what I was trying to do. I wanted my messages to be really good for me and really good for those who could hear it, but I hadn't seen it done that way yet, you see. So I've been doing the spoken word part now. This is 6 years in the sense of just hitting the mics publicly and being more public with taking the messages out because I'm really a very private person. So,
can I ask you a question?
Sure, huh?
What's the difference between a slam artist and a spoken word artist?
Well, beyond the poetic skill and the love and the usage of our words, it's also in the delivery. A slam artist, I have respect for what they do, but it's something that I will never do.
Mm-hmm.
Their goal in slamming is typically to have me, if I'm the one doing the slamming, per se, quote unquote, I'm going to say all these really wonderful things about Renee, like, oh, I'm the best in the West in the whole wide world, and everybody else wants to be me. And, you know, and it's like at some point in time you go, what exactly did I give the people when I do that? You know?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the sense of a spoken word artist, and not everyone, I can't blanket it that way, but the general rule would be where you've taken certain poetry that you've written or certain messages that you were given, and you are prolifically trying to deliver. You're trying to convey a message. Your whole point is to be a vessel and deliver a message. So it's not about you.
Yeah. Okay.
It's about delivering this message, mm-hmm. even if you benefit from it. But it wasn't because you needed to say your name 100 times or talk about yourself. You share your life experiences because someone will benefit. You know, you want someone else to know that you suffered this week or you were given something great this week. You found love, you lost love, whatever, you know.
And where do you get your inspiration for these pieces? I mean, what is it where you reside, your family, your life? I mean,
yeah,
how do you know, you...
Yeah, initially, to be honest with you, when I started writing like at 6 years old, and actually that was mostly in just Portuguese, it was because of my family. Lots of issues. You know how you're ashamed of certain things? As black as I look all the way through, my mom was this white woman with the blue eyes. My dad was Puerto Rican, and his mom was Mozambique, so he's like fully African and Puerto Rican. Okay, I have a lot of their genes. So you know how you don't feel like you fit in? So you write about it. You go in the closet and you start writing out these things that, you know, sound really simple today, but they meant everything on that day, you know?
Right.
So I started learning that my tool for healing was through my pen. And that keeps me from wanting to ever push to a point of being so angry to murder, you know, or being so broke to steal. You know what I mean? You write it out. You write it out of your life. You lose someone like I recently had lost my sister. I've been writing the pain away as opposed to staying in some state of depression. You know what I mean? So that's how I believe in my pen. I believe that it heals, and if I couldn't do it, I really believe I would die. I write every day. Every day.
Well, you know, we had one was African, I believe,
mm-hmm.
who was on.
Yeah, he's
and he was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on with the Lamont Carey show.
Yeah, he's great too.
Yeah, he's great. And they were talking about what was going on in the hip hop world and
mm-hmm.
the messages that a lot of the youth are getting,
right.
which is, you know, bling bling and guns and
right.
you know, and they were really and it seemed to me that they are really trying to turn the tide.
Yeah, they are. We all of us who are really true to our craft and to our pen really want to do that. That's what my movement, quote unquote, had always been about. It's about getting together as a group and then just basically trying to rejuvenate the old street corner thing. I mean, you know what? I think every ethnicity has it where you have that the old person in the room that tells the stories, or you can go by that old corner store and you see the same one guy that you kind of just know from face, but he's always got some good word for you. You know, that's the basis for spoken word. It's not about bragging on your rims or disrespecting a woman or, you know, bragging on the things that you do out of control. You know, it's about why, like I say, why things will work out for you. It's about encouragement. You know, it's about saying the phrase, I feel you. That really has meaning, meaning you hear something I say, if it moves you enough to say, you go, I really can relate to that, it's the same thing. That means I feel you, as opposed to me saying, God, I wish I could get rims, because that just depresses you. You know what I mean? If it's something,
yeah.
If you're in a state of bad financial ship at the time, you don't want to hear that. It's not going to encourage you.
Right.
You know, it makes you feel bad, makes you self-reflect poorly, you know, makes
right.
you do things that you shouldn't do. That's how we get the youth who's misguided in some instances to sell drugs or to think that, well, I can't get it this way, I'll get it that way. See, the messages aren't broken down. And not in all instances, I must say, because there's some in hip-hop who actually really do a great job of being what I'd call the messenger.
Right.
But a lot of the new, what I call the new jacks, they're really stuck on all this material stuff. And it's just not even the truth. That's what makes
Well, those
so
images
bad.
Are so dramatic.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I think it's a very tough battle, you know. I mean, they're just in the I watch some of the videos. My
mm-hmm.
I have two girls, one
mm-hmm.
12, one 9.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they watch the MTV. And, of course, I like MTV. I grew up with the MTV.
Right.
But these images, you know, I just think it's terrible. It really is.
Yeah, completely inflamed, completely untrue. The most exaggerated form of intelligent rape that I've ever seen. Because let's say if that was your only form of educating anyone in the world, we're doing a really poor job.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so bad. So that's why you have to be careful with what you say and, you know, be really abreast of what's going on around you. And it's the parents' responsibility, actually. They want to blame all of society. You have to kind of control what your kids are exposed to. And when they're exposed to the ill things, you have to really let them know why it's an ill thing, because you can't get them around it. You're fooling yourself.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. There's a lot of this, the parents aren't around, or they're working,
yeah.
and they, you know, they're just disinterested.
Right.
I don't know, but, you know, it's troubling.
It is troubling, but you know what? The thing that can keep you encouraged is that even with what you guys are doing, this is amazing. You might think that this could be a waste of time or that it's not going to penetrate greatly, but this is how it all starts. There was a time, even 10 years ago, when all I had was a writing board. No vocal way to get the word out. No one was putting together CDs for spoken word artists. You see what I mean?
Right.
If you weren't rappers, you had no chance.
Right.
The independent movement was non-existent, so if you couldn't get a deal with MCA, a place like Pumafella Records, which is my label, it wouldn't exist, because even the laws were against us. You see what I mean? So in the effort to do positive things, and it doesn't make us perfect because we make bunches of mistakes, without a doubt, it all works out. So there's a reason for everything that's happening.
And you're doing a show now. Well, you are one of our
yeah.
newer hosts on Blog Talk Radio.
And very proud of that, too. I really appreciate that. I am. And I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to using that as a vessel and as a vehicle to talk about any and everything. You know, I didn't just want it to be spoken word.
Right.
It could be any subject. It could be anything. And if they're willing to talk about it respectfully and truthfully, we can talk about anything. You know?
Now, I know you're a very humble person, but we have to talk about how one becomes a poet laureate.
Wow.
I have never really talked to a poet laureate.
Really?
This is actually one of the first times. I've spoken to you once. This is my second
uh-huh.
time.
Right. Well, what I understand is that there's a group of people, one, maybe five, maybe ten, they get together, and they nominate you, and you're presented to different writing societies, and samples of your work are sent in. You know, the truth is, I was unbeknownst to me was this actually happening, because, again, I'm very private. I don't write everywhere, and I don't like my work circulating everywhere. So to get the honor, it had to be done around me, basically. And then you get information, you get a few calls. There's a huge scholastic board. These people, the difference between a poet laureate and just what you would call just a magnificent spoken word artist, is they're looking for the academia side and also the type of writing, and if you have any publications, I have 6 books, you know, how deeply you've taken the dream, you know, how far did you go with it, what are you doing with it. It's a real huge deal. So after they check all of that out, it's the board that decides who will get it for whatever reason. Then you get an honorarium, a cash amount. You get two different awards. There's a little ceremony, and you get the honor.
That's very nice. And is it a work over a collection of your of a year or over a period of time or your life?
The funny thing is, it's so funny you would say that because I have so many poems and I write every single day. Very little do I post that I've written today unless it's for specific reasons because I've had so many and I never shared them much. I'm posting them. So where they may have thought they were getting lots of brand new things, they're really not brand new.
Right.
So the I guess my genre was covered. They picked a love poem. They would pick one on pain. There was one picked on a conscious effort. You know, they picked one that I did for spoken word with music behind it and one that was just a cappella, you know. So they really were really looking closely at the type of words you use, your use of metaphor, is onomatopoeia present, did you represent verisimilitude, you know, just all sorts of things. It's a real... True.
Where were you educated? I mean, you grew up in Portugal, young.
Yeah, I did, until I was 15. I went to school in the States. I went to USC. I went to Cal State Dominguez. I went to another element of school I don't talk about much, but I attended law school in California as well.
A law school?
Yeah.
Didn't want to be a lawyer?
Not for all the reasons that other people are. I went specifically because I had a child that had been murdered, and I wanted to represent her where no one else was giving me what I wanted because I was so young. And after that was all said and done, it really was about as interested as I was. I did try it a little bit, but I'm a writer. So you know how you have to remember who you are.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible story that you went to law school to...
Specifically for that. Specifically for that because murder has no statute in the States. And if you're young, and I was really, really young and everything, and so they want to push you to the side when you're very young. They want to say that. You know nothing, and I had a bigger accent that I couldn't hide as well as I can today, so then I was the dumb foreigner, you know. There's always all sorts of things, and then one day you finally wake up and say, you know what, they're lying to me, and I need to pursue this greater, and that it wasn't cis, and that there was foul play, you know, and you seek to prove it. So it had become my life's work until I can get what I needed, and justice was finally given.
Well, that's cool.
That is an unbelievable story. I mean,
yeah.
The power of positive thinking and...
Yeah, or the power and pain, though, too.
I'm sure. I mean, that's just incredible.
That was the catalyst that would keep me from killing myself at that time. Because, you know, when you don't get the truth, I was in a state of depression. It was just really crazy. I so wanted to die in her place just because I felt like at my time, I'm like, well, I'd live forever. You know, that's what we think, right? And it's like she should be here. So in an effort not to even attempt my own life, I had to focus on something stronger than me, and the mystery of not knowing was stronger than me, and that's why that became such a big deal, and I put my life's work into it. I had a really great network around me. I met really wonderful people. Never did it for any particular reason. Wasn't the goal. The goal specifically was to seek justice, and, yeah, I did make a little bit of money in the career form, but just for a few years because it's not me.
Right.
It's not me. I'm too ethical for law.
You're too ethical.
I am too.
Yeah, your voicemail is much too nice for that.
Oh, bless your heart. And I'm not that sweet. Don't get me wrong. I have my days. You get the.
Well, we all got to catch you on one of those.
Oh, oh boy. You have to have a seatbelt on for that day. But, so
well, maybe you know you have
true.
So much flexibility with the description in your guide that mm-hmm. you can say, hey, you know, I'm just having a bad day. And
yeah,
listen to me tonight. I'm doing a special bad day.
Yeah,
and,
again,
you know,
you'll catch that. If you get a chance to tune in, you'll
I
hear.
I think everybody would tune
yeah.
in and listen to
it. Oh, yeah. Well, if you follow my writing, you go in the blogs deep enough, you'll go, woo, that was a day for her. And I make it real clear. That's what it was.
I've read one of those.
Oh, yeah, have you? Well, I have to get it off of me. If you're
not.
So sweet.
Did you want to read a piece tonight on?
Sure, you want to hear.
Yeah,
you
let's hear one.
You can't imagine it, huh?
Let's hear one. Well, it doesn't have to be. You know, whatever
well,
you choose.
Okay. Well, I can I can go that route because I was actually I don't forget why I wrote certain things. You know what I mean? So by writing it, there was a real good reason for it, and. The reasons behind it may have something to do with me, may have something to do with someone that's close to me.
Okay.
That's the part that really throws people for a loop. So let me think of one good one here in that mode. Um, It's a shame when you write so much you don't know where
to start. Oh, she's looking. We are with Renee Reyes on Blog Talk Radio Show. And she's named the Poet Laureate, spoken word artist.
Renee, when is your first show? Is it tomorrow night?
Yeah, it is tomorrow night.
Excellent.
And I'm excited by that. I have a few people that I know are going to come by, so I'm just anxious to be there and partake in it, you know. And it's just going to be conversations with me in the beginning just to see where we go with it, you know.
Exactly. Well, you could be very flexible with it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, here's one. It's called Thine Own Eyes. The Revelation poem, okay? To do me dirty is like cutting off the arm of God, robbing a saint on her way to do Jesus' job, taking candy from a baby and putting poison on it and giving it back to that poor trusting child. So I resolve, I'm fed up with trying to outshine you in the overrated gaudy illumination that you are. Cannot be a beacon of light if I'm locked beneath cellar doors. Treat it like your ego's whore. Only worthy when all others want to ignore you. In the most honest attempt to love a man, I tried so hard to show you how I adored you. But your inability to recognize this blessed presence of a queen will cost you your future. I promise you, you will die a slow death, alone and bitter, and I feel nothing for you. Ready to forget I ever met you. I proceed gracefully through this culmination, not even going to ask you to justify, because my own eyes saw in your tepid water version that if it's asked, you will call it a good explanation. See, you suffer from purposefacious peccadillo, while saying you're sleeping, but you are receiving fellatio, ferociously effed up, you mad, disgusting, every girl's first nightmare. You perform cunnilingus anxiously to get a mouthful from anywhere. You're some sort of grig in a heinous habitat. Your surroundings encourage you, and all my feelings towards you are now hateful. They say never peek into an uninvited place unless you're ready for what your eyes will reveal to you. Then make the effort to put it all together, and it makes perfect sense once I gaze and discover the real you. Unravel the patterns of your sickness and your evil, and pause long enough to let you live because, as effed up as it is, I have to admit I did love you. I'm so effing glad for the truth now. My whole being is released. My soul is at peace, and my spirit can certainly do without you. I'm completely over you.
Wow. That's
very good.
Intense.
Wow, yeah. Well, it was that day.
No, it was that. It was just a little day. I had a few minutes in the morning.
Yeah.
And that little few words, you know.
Yeah, just a few things. You wake up boiling and you go, if I don't get this out, I'll bust a blood vessel.
That's amazing. It takes me an hour sometimes just to write my own email address.
Oh, bless your heart. Oh, no. I mean, it's just, you know, it's almost a sickness. You know how you go, man, this is my insanity here. It's my pen.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I stop. I'll do it in traffic. You know what I mean?
Oh, thank God for that because you're wonderful.
Oh, bless your heart. I really appreciate that.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us tonight here. And this is archived on Blog Talk Radio
awesome.
my host channel.
Great.
And we look forward tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m., right, Eastern time.
Eastern time, that's right.
And we'll love to hear it, and I'm anxious to get some feedback and from you.
Okay, great.
And hear about how the show went, and I'll be listening. And hopefully you'll have some – I know Lamont is doing shows, and he's getting other spoken word artists to read and to participate.
Right. I know that I asked four ladies. See, I haven't ran an ad yet. I'm going to run that tonight. I did ask four ladies specifically that I wanted to chit-chat over the lines with and ask them to invite folks out. So there will be at least a couple of us there to start the momentum of it. But I know it will build. And if not, whoever is listening in is supposed to hear that, you know, so I'm okay with that too.
But I think you're such an interesting person and you've had such an interesting life that you have perspective on your outlook in life that doesn't necessarily have to be addressed using spoken word, but just being you, and I think you can inspire a lot of people. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate
Do you do motivational speaking at all?
I have done lots of it. Yeah, I have. It's a challenge. It's the same thing with like singing. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But you know, it's an issue of obedience. Every now and again, you know that if you don't do it at that time, no one else will, and it needs to be said. So I push myself to do it, and I'm glad it works out. But I'm the last of the the big showboat. You have no idea. It's such a difficult thing to get on stage and things like that, but I do it out of obedience in every genre that I represent.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to hearing you tomorrow night.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much again for that opportunity. I appreciate that.
And, Alan, it was a pleasure.
Yes, thank you, Amy.
Always, thank you. Always.
Very good, and appreciate it. And once again, thank you for joining me, Amy, on my show and hosting at the start and joining me tonight. And Dr. Jim Messina and Renee Reyes.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night, and
you
we'll see you guys on air.
Thank you.
Good night. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.